but welcome to the home of explanations. You've got more than money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host. I can explain virtually everything except why these headphones don't work. Oh, goodness. Welcome to More Than Money. If you appreciate a glorious fall morning, this is the one that you will love. It is gorgeous out there. Crisp and clear and clear skies. At O'Dark 30 this morning, the sky was filled with stars. Just absolutely what a display. It's one of those kind of things where you kick open the garage door, you step out, you don't just jump right in the car. You step out and take a peek and you go, hey, thanks. Thanks. Fantastic. Some of the stuff that God does is pretty amazing. And that was just gorgeous this morning. And there's nothing that you're not going to like about stepping outside right now. Bright sunshine. Enjoy every single moment. And hopefully you'll spend a lot of those moments over the next couple of hours with us here at More Than Money. If you're a loyal listener, you know how this works. If you're just joining us for the very first time, we welcome you. We have lots of folks who join us every single week, and we appreciate that very much. And we welcome you to our listening audience. It's our opportunity for the next couple of hours to serve you, to serve your best interest, to serve your family and the people that you care about, to serve your financial life in any way that we are able, and we're happy to do that. More Than Money was invented. Next April will be 30 years, 20 years at WAEB, starting out smaller stations and then working my way up. And what a pleasure it has been. What a ride it has been. Great, great fun. All with one intention, and that's to serve you, to bring you as much quality financial information as we possibly can, offer you all of my 780 years of experience, and put all of those as much as humanly possible to your benefit. So if you would like to join us, we would welcome that. It's remarkably easy to do. If you'd like to talk to the lovely and talented Mr. John Elliott, since I'm back in the studio, last week we were separated, but we've had a reconciliation. We've worked through some of our issues. No, we haven't. No, sadly, John and I have all the same issues that we've always had. And, hey, goodness, seems to work. 610-720-7900, 610-720-7900. Let you talk to John. He'll get you squared away to talk to me. We'll answer your questions to the very best of our ability and get you squared away. If you are so inclined, or you would like to add more detail, or you'd like to keep your voice private, email works very, very nicely. We have the smartphone at the ready. You send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, gene@askmtm.com. And that will work very well indeed. And finally, if you are further afield, or if you have someone you care about that's further afield, and they don't receive our transmission, look at me being all radio, transmission through the airwaves, you can have anybody that you care about receive our show live every Saturday morning through our website. Miracle of modern technology, iHeartMedia takes us coast to coast, north and south, wherever there's internet access. All they need to do is log on to our morethanmoneyonline.com website, morethanmoneyonline.com. And you'll hit the listen live button. You'll hit the, if you have a question, the Ask Gene button. And goodness, you're fully engaged. Not married yet, but you're fully engaged. Hey, it's early. it is early. That's true. We're just getting started. But if you have any delusions that it's going to get any better. I think it's only fair to let you know that that's not likely. So welcome. 610-720-7900. Gene@askmtm.com. morethanmoneyonline.com. John, do you have access to the internet over there? If you want to check out our website, morethanmoneyonline.com. We were in discussions with our friends over in New Jersey yesterday, and I assured them that when we reach 8:05 on a Saturday morning and people log into our website, that there's a relatively easy access, relatively prominent way that they just say, hey, that's what you click on that red button and you have access to the website or to the radio show, I should say. So John's going to check that out for me. 610-720-7900. Gene@askmtm.com. morethanmoneyonline.com. Lots going on. Goodness. Lots of it is interesting, I guess is the polite word if you're talking about the impeachment issues. If you're talking about some of the... Trump moves to Florida and Andrew Cuomo, instead of being a rational human being and saying, hey, you know, there's clearly a reason why we're losing just to Florida. Folks leaving New York just to Florida last year, 65,000 people just to Florida. And okay, maybe a huge proportion of New Yorkers leaving New York are going to Florida, but that's not the only state, but 65,000. So instead of the governor going, there's a reason why people are leaving New York, and we should address that. He is so consumed with his own egocentric politics that he'd rather tell Trump, don't let the screen door hit you on the way out, that he simply isn't willing to address the inherent issues. Goodness gracious. Hey, between that and all the other stuff, let's just move it right along. 610-720-7900. I want to thank everybody up in Cherryville, downtown Cherryville, not on the outskirts, not through the Beltway, no. Downtown Cherryville that welcomed us so warmly last weekend. John, I wish you had been there.
I wish you had told me.
I wish you had been there. About halfway through the show, I look up. Bobby Williams is on my left, and I look up and across the room at one of the vendor tables is a young lady, and what I'm guessing to be her mom, or the woman with her, could have been older sister, because they both very young, and the younger woman carrying a baby dressed as a pumpkin, one of the cutest little things I've ever seen in my life, so cute that I'm on air. I'm going, Bobby, what? That's how we talk to each other, which is, it's a little embarrassing, but okay. Bobby and I, what are you going to do? Bobby, exactly. Take one of these little stuffies and go over and give it to that little baby. And adorable. As it turned out, the last break of the show, Connie Palaha was with us, was up at the event, spending and enjoying and greeting and having a great time. And I went to find this baby because from a distance, one of the cutest things you ever saw. And I found her, and she and this other woman, sister, mom, happened to be in a booth. And so was Connie. So I said, Connie, oh, this baby. And I tapped this young lady on the shoulder, and she turned around with the baby. And the baby gave me smiles that went on forever. Oh, one of the sweetest things you have ever seen in your entire life. So that's my transition to go from goofy Governor Cuomo to what's really important. How about gorgeous babies, sweet families, wonderful organization through these hands? If you've not yet exposed yourself to the good work of Through These Hands, check out their website, throughthesehands.org. Absolutely fantastic. We always have fun going up there. The food is ridiculous. At the bake sale, They had all manner of things there. Our good friend Barbara Graver was helping with the bake sale. And we got all kinds of stuff. But there was a pie. I love pie. I'm a pie guy. I love pie. And there was a cherry crumb pie. And I was kind of looking at some stuff, and I came back, and I'm standing in front of the cherry crumb pie. I said, "Cherry crumb pie." And the woman went, "Oh, you will be so lucky if you buy that. It's made by the best pie maker in the entire congregation." We were at Bethany Wesleyan Church. Best pie maker ever. And please, I've heard this prior. I have not, this is not my first church rodeo, bake sale rodeo. Please. It was the best pie. It's in the top three of the best pies I've ever had in my entire life, which is why, as I stand here this morning, I'm 4.5 pounds heavier than I was last weekend. Am I looking for more? I'm hoping for less. No, I'm not looking for more. I thought you meant. Oy. Fantastic. Thank you so much to everybody up there. And just a couple of real quick things. Stock market ended the week really strongly. The Dow was up over 300, closing at over 27,000 in spite of Elizabeth Warren announcing her. Are you sitting down? Are you? You might want to lie down for this. Her Medicare for All plan, just her Medicare for All plan, forget all the other Green Deal stuff, $52 trillion. It would increase the federal budget by more than 50%. We're already running a $950 billion deficit annually. She wants to increase that between $2 and $5 billion a year. How long would that last? Right up to the point where the American worker bee, which at this point in time is at the highest level in the history of America, rises up in revolt and says, "You're a bunch of morons. We're not going to give you any more of our money." Politicians being a bunch of morons, legitimately, that's redundant, and it's repetitive, and I find myself repeating myself because politicians that are morons, and don't do math very well, that's a smaller subset. But bottom line is that apparently, as her plan was rolled out, it was ridiculous enough that Wall Street investors went, "That'll never happen," and the market went up very, very nicely. So, very, very good. Good jobs report yesterday. Not only was it a good jobs report for September, I apologize, for October, but it included two revisions for August and September, and they were both upward. If you'll remember 8 years of our previous presidency, every jobs report had some number, and the revisions were always down. The jobs reports, when they initially reported, were always way higher than they ended up being. And the announcements were always, "Look how great we are. Look how amazing we are." And then, we plus 200,000 in the next month. Oh, we have to make an adjustment of minus 45,000. Ridiculous. In recent memory, the jobs reports are positive and then revised higher. That's absolutely the direction that you wish to go. So good stuff. 610-720-7900. Just a couple more housekeeping. My apologies. Details, and then we'll take your calls and we'll do some emails. November newsletter is out. John's nodding. Hopefully that means yes, I received mine by email.
I read it by email.
And he read it by email and received and read. Look at you. Which is nice because there were no connect the dots or fill in the blanks. So
I like the choo-choo train.
Oh, the choo-choo train picture. That's Megan. Yeah, she took it. That's the Jim Thorpe train that the town of Jim Thorpe is trying to tax out of existence. Beautiful. So if you are a November, if you're a newsletter subscriber and you receive it by email, it's already in your inbox. Please check that out. If you receive it by snail mail, we expect it long about Christmas. You should be. No, come on. That should be just Monday or Tuesday. So that's the newsletter. This coming Wednesday, our good friend Mark Basak will be in the More Than Money office in the Holy Lands between Bethlehem and Nazareth and giving consultations to folks who wish to determine the best approach for their Social Security strategy. We often, on a very regular basis, have folks come and meet with Mark. And I just glanced at the schedule, noticed that it's this coming Wednesday, so I thought I would let you know. If you would like a free second opinion of your Social Security strategy, how best to match your Social Security claiming process with your particular, your specific circumstance, all you need to do is ask. You can send an email. The best to get this done directly is send it to Sue, sue@askmtm.com. And if that's not stuck in your memory banks, you can always send it to me and I will forward it, gene@askmtm.com. Spending time with Mark Basak is an absolute pleasure. Not only is he incredibly knowledgeable about Social Security and Medicare, he's just a great guy. He's just great to spend time with. So if you are so inclined and this Wednesday fits into your schedule, November 6th, again, sue@askmtm.com, gene@askmtm.com. Jobs report we talked about. We got that. Nice. 610-720-7900. Goodness gracious, it's gorgeous out there. Young lady writes, Dad sold his home, moved into a retirement community. Nice. He has $165,000 from the sale to invest. He wants to keep it available but still make a good return. Is that too much to ask? That will depend. No shock to regular listeners. It depends. It depends in this case on what he interprets as a good return. And I guess it also depends on what he means by keeping it available. If he means keeping 100% of the 165 available kind of at a moment's notice, like a cookie jar, then he should expect, if it's well invested, well diversified, all within a very reasonable portfolio. And in this case, I think a reasonable portfolio limits the amount of money that's invested in the stock market in two ways. It limits the amount, the percentage that's actually invested in the stock market. I would think you'd want to limit it to about 15% or so. In this particular case, what would that be? 20, 25,000 of the 165 in the stock market, the balance outside the market, meaning fixed income, bonds, etc. So if he wants to make a good return, keep it liquid and have it be reasonable, I'm thinking a 2 to 3% return is likely. 100% guaranteed, no. But likely. So if his current 165 is in a checkbook, a savings account paying 0.1, then 2, 2.5, or 3 may very well qualify as a good return, and it will be 100% liquid, 100% available at the drop of a hat. It would even be likely that it would be held in an account that would give him both a checkbook and a debit card. So it could be very, very straightforward and very, very simple. Not guaranteed. Big pieces of it could be guaranteed. Big pieces of it could be very, very, very conservative, but as a portfolio taken as a whole, not guaranteed, but very stable, high probability of making your dad very, very happy. If, on the other hand, his idea of making it, keeping it available, is having access to a piece of it, some portion of it, then he might do a bit better with a limited term fixed index annuity, something not 7, 9, 12 years, but more like 5 years. He might do better there. In a fixed index annuity, his as long as he holds it to maturity, his principal's guaranteed. Can't lose if he puts 165 in, he can't lose 165. Can't lose any of that holding to maturity. During the five-year period, if he needs money, he could access up to 10%, $16,500 a year, no cost, no penalties. If your dad hears that and goes, "Well, that's plenty," I would not expect that I would ever need more than that, then this is probably going to give him a slightly higher rate of return, probably the 3.5 to 4% range on average, tracking higher but never lower. Year by year, as it goes higher, if it goes higher, it gets locked in. Now it cannot go any lower than that. If in the first year it goes up 5%, which would be about $10,000, it would lock in at 175, and now it could not go any lower than that for the remaining 4 years. Even if the next 4 years are zero, he still has 175, made some money, didn't lose anything. Life is pretty good. At the end of the 5 years, it matures, and then he has access to the entire amount and can elect to do whatever he wishes. Take it out, leave it in, leave in part of it, take part of it out. It's full range. Hopefully that helps. 610-720-7900. Gene@askmtm.com. morethanmoneyonline.com. Okay, that makes sense there. Very good. 610-720-7900. Young lady writes. People ask me, I actually get that question. When you're reading your emails, you always hesitate. No, I don't always hesitate. 99% of the time I do. And it's because most folks, logically enough, put their name at the end of their email. So sometimes I have to kind of read through quickly to figure out if it's a young lady or a gentleman. In this case, it's a young lady. I received just over $7,000 from a life insurance policy my mom had. Do I have to pay tax on this? And can I put this in my IRA so I don't have to pay that tax? So she's assuming that she does have to pay and wishes to avoid it. She's going to be quite happy, actually. Number one, no, you don't pay income tax on the proceeds from a life insurance policy. So that's wonderful. It was very thoughtful of your mom to have that policy. You receive the money, you pay no income tax. Now, having said that, could you put it into your IRA and avoid the tax? Well, we've already figured out there's no tax to avoid, but could you still put it in your IRA and, depending if you're using a standard IRA, get a tax deduction for putting it in your IRA? And the answer is, depending on your age, you can put the bulk of it for sure. $5,000 or $6,000 into the IRA. And since January is about 10 seconds away, in January, you can add the balance of it to your IRA as well. So let's assume for a moment you receive this $7,000, no income taxes due on that, and you decide to put $5,000 in your IRA this year tax deductibly, and let's say you're in the 15% bracket. You've done two really good things. Number one, you've got $5,000 going towards your retirement, growing tax sheltered, hopefully growing nicely depending on your investments. And when you file your tax return, you're going to save about $750 in federal income tax. That's real money. Oh, and you still have $2,000 left that if in January you decide to put that in the IRA as well, same pattern, tax deduction, $2,000, you'll save about $300 more on taxes, and you'll have now $7,000 building for your retirement. Not a bad idea at all. 610-720-7900. Since we hear the voice of an angel, Natalie Merchant, saying, hey, we've got to take our first break. First of three breaks that we take during our show. I'm usually pretty good at math. And that tells us we got to take a real, this is a brief break, 3 minutes or so. 610-720-7900. Send me an email, gene at askmtm.com. We'll take your questions after this on More Than Money.
I don't know how you keep on giving. For your kindness I made debt to you, and I never could have come this far without you. I'm over your head now. I confound you and disturb you.
Welcome back to the Home of Explanations. You've got More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor. Live this Saturday morning, it is November. 10 seconds ago, it was January. In 10 seconds more, it's going to be January again. Hey, this is crazy stuff. 610-720-7900. That's the number that Angie has called. Angie, good morning.
Good morning, Gene. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, my pleasure. How may we serve you?
Well, I heard you say that there's no tax on life insurance, but I have two annuities, one I'm drawing on and one I'm letting sit there. But they're, when I got them, they were termed life insurance annuities. So they're both an annuity and life insurance. And I'm wondering what the tax situation is on something like that.
Very good. The let me make sure I'm being as precise as I can be. All annuity companies, all annuities are issued by annuity and life insurance companies. So it is very common, if not 100%, that the policies that you receive, the contracts that you receive when you acquire an annuity, are typically labeled as life insurance. So that would be the basis for causing some confusion right there, right out of the gate. The reality is that if these annuities, I'm assuming they're not inside IRAs. I'm assuming these are just typical annuities.
Right.
Yes, they are referred to in the IRS code as non-qualified, meaning non-IRA annuities. These, when they are received by your beneficiaries, they will be income taxable to the extent that there is a profit inside the annuity. That's a little confusing, so I'll give you an example. If you invested $10,000 in one of these annuities and it's now worth $20,000 because of the gains, the interest or the gains in the annuity value, and you were to pass away, your beneficiaries would receive $10,000 of it income tax free. That's what you originally invested, but the $10,000 of profit they would pay income tax on. And that would be true of virtually all annuities that are not inside IRAs.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You are very welcome. Thank you for the call, and God bless.
Same to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So much. 610-720-7900. Taxation of annuities is a very confusing topic. topic and can be a very challenging topic for many folks when they inherit an annuity. I kept very, very clear when we were talking with Angie about the difference between IRAs and annuities inside IRAs and ones that are outside IRAs. Some of you are thinking, what's the big difference? Well, the big difference is if it's inside an IRA, a traditional IRA, it's all taxable, 100%, because an annuity inside an IRA has not had tax paid on it. The IRS says somebody better pay that tax. And so if the owner of the annuity passes away, the recipient pays tax as they would on any IRA that they would inherit. If it's not inside an IRA, hey, now we've got a whole list of different pathways that the annuity may follow. If the annuitant is married and the annuity passes to the spouse has some very reasonable options in terms of controlling the tax. In most cases, they won't have to pay tax immediately. They can, in many cases, assume the annuity as if it were their own. But if it goes outside that pathway from spouse to spouse, in almost every case, the folks who are the beneficiaries of the annuity are going to face some choices as to how they will accept those dollars. It's recently been, the guidance apparently is a reasonable word, has recently come down that if you receive an annuity, let's say my three daughters receive an annuity from me at my passing, they are all very, very young. They don't want to take out a big block of money and pay a huge tax on an annuity they received from their dad. They are now permitted to stretch the payment of that annuity out over their life expectancy. So if we take my youngest daughter at 22, life expectancy is probably in the 65 or 70 year range. She could choose to accept her annuity payout over that many, many, many years, which means at this current stage of her life, she would receive very, very little, very, very modest amount of money. And then she can shift gears. And many years from now, when she goes into retirement, hopefully the vast majority of that money is still there. She can choose to accelerate those payments. So lots of options. Interesting taxation issues. Make sure you're using a tax professional, a certified enrolled agent, or a CPA when you are faced with these challenges. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones and we talk to John Elliott. John, yes. Good morning.
Yes, this young lady did not want to go on air, and I believe I have the situation correct.
Since please.
We're talking about annuity and taxation.
Sure.
What if the beneficiary, you have an annuity outside.
Right.
The beneficiary would become the estate. Okay.
Yeah.
And now that would go then from the estate then to the beneficiaries from there. How would the taxation work there?
Yeah, sadly, it's not a good thing. Sadly, in almost every case, that scenario, we see it very often. Quite often, especially among folks who are more senior or folks who are dealing with salesmen. If they're not dealing with a financial advisor, if they're dealing with salesmen, somebody, some salesman they heard on the radio and they just sell annuities, they are not, in many cases, they're not trained to understand the differences in the tax nuances. I'm not really sure what nuance means, but it sounds so cool. I use it a lot. I had this nuance on the outside of my knee, but the doctor lanced it, and it pretty much went away.
Oh, okay.
So good. So salesmen are not terribly well-equipped to guide folks as to the subtleties of how best to set up their beneficiaries. So quite often, if they've gotten, particularly a senior citizen, to say, yes, I'm going to write you a check for this annuity, they're not about to slow this process up and say, okay, now what we really need, you have four daughters. I need names, social security numbers, addresses. No. You know what? We just paid into the... Do you have a will? Yes. Are your daughters the beneficiaries? Yes. It's gonna. We're just going to pay it into your estate. And to the amateur ear, to the non-financial professional ear, that sounds the same. I can either name the four girls as beneficiaries of my annuity, and they all get equally, or I can name my estate, and in my estate it says my girls all get it equally. It sounds the same to me. It isn't. If the girls are named as beneficiaries of your annuity, each of those four girls then would have the option of how best to handle that money for themselves. They might be able to defer taxes. They might want to take the money immediately and pay the tax because they have a very serious need. Each of the four girls will have all the options available. If we pay it into an estate, two things, neither of which are any good, happen. The first is all the options are eliminated. The estate is the beneficiary. The annuity company will write a check. All the taxes are due immediately. Taxation is not good. The distribution is okay, not great. This is not ideal. And probably as bad, the girls have no options whatsoever. Each girl will get a check, net check of the taxes that have been paid. Could have been so much better. But for a salesman, it's easy. We'll just put it down here. The beneficiaries will be same as your will. Oh, okay. And so if you're Angie, for example, Angie has two annuities. She called in earlier. If she's hearing that and saying, wait a second, that's what my annuities say. That's what my annuity beneficiary line says. The estate per the will. You would be very, very well served. You would be well instructed to sit with a qualified financial advisor, not a salesman. And if your annuity, by the way, says your proceeds are being paid into your estate, in all likelihood, one of two things have happened. Number one, you've dealt with a salesman. Whether they call themselves an advisor or not, you've dealt with a salesman and you have not been well served. Or you've dealt with a financial advisor and when he or she explained it to you, you didn't really understand the implication. And you went, yeah, I could do that. You know what? Just put my estate. In which case, shame on you. But in either event, it's got to be fixed. There are very few cases where having annuities paid into the estate is the correct way to do this. So if anybody out there is listening saying, I'm pretty sure that's how mine is, then you would be very wise to either shoot an email to Gene. Shoot Gene an email. Sorry, threw a wrong comma in there. shoot Gene an email and make sure that we get you in. Go through all your documentation. By the way, the issue of beneficiaries and whether they are done correctly or not certainly applies to annuities. Certainly applies to annuities. It also applies to life insurance. It also applies to IRAs. It also applies to 401ks. So if you're listening this morning and you're saying, okay, it was bad enough when you got my knickers in a twist over these annuity issues, but yeah, I've got IRAs and I've got life insurance and I used to have a 401k. I think I still do. How does all that work? If you sit with a qualified financial advisor for under an hour, less than 60 minutes, all of that can be delineated, all that can be documented in exactly the best way to fit what you wish to have happen when you're no longer here. Wow.
Thank you for taking my call.
got my knickers in a twist myself. This is a huge issue. It's a huge, huge issue. Most folks have no idea. Most folks think in terms of quote-unquote estate planning, and they think wills and trusts and powers of attorney. And appropriately so, you absolutely need all of those things addressed. But the issue of beneficiary designations gets largely short shrift. I'm not sure about shrift either. As soon as I said it, I thought, wow, that sounds a little naughty. I have to, on the break, I'll look up FCC banned words. And if I find shrift, I'm not sure I'm going to make it to the April anniversary, 30th anniversary. Beneficiary designations can be not just critical in terms of having things happen the way you want them to have happen, and not just critical in terms of reduced taxation, but they can be critical in terms of reduced stress and strain on the people you love. Everything that goes through your will is going to have at least a modest delay to go through probate, to go through an estate account, et cetera, et cetera. 3 months would be remarkably fast. 6 to 9 months is typical. A year or two is not unusual. I think our longest standing current estate issue is 14 years. Exactly. If your assets are directed by beneficiary, the mechanics of your beneficiary receiving the funds that you wish them to have are remarkably simple. They arrive at the financial advisor's office with a stack of death certificates, one for each of the accounts that you have. They supply that with a signature to the proper institutions. Could be Charles Schwab, it could be an annuity, it could be Prudential, it could be Jackson, it could be Nationwide, it could be any number of folks. And a week to 10 days later, they get a check. Contrast that to months of waiting and delay, and I think the answers are fairly obvious. 610-720-7900. Gene at AskMTM.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. Apparently annuities, theme of the morning. We have another email about annuities. Spring water. One second. We'll see. Gentleman writes, I have three annuities that will give me a total of $33,000 a year when I retire. Nice. I heard you say a couple weeks ago that the only backing for the guarantees is the company that stands behind them. That's true. In my case, three different companies. One of the companies, very well known. The other two, I've never heard of. How do I know they'll be able to pay me for the next 30 or 40 years? Should I be looking to move these annuities into a different, better-known company? Wow. Excellent questions. Very, very good questions. Okay, so for everybody listening, this gentleman invested some sum of monies into three different annuities with three different annuity companies. And by the way, there are dozens and dozens of annuity companies, many of which you've never heard of. So whether you've heard of them or not, not the end-all be-all. But he asks a very reasonable question. If you're retiring, say, at 65 years old, and you're being guaranteed $33,000 a year from three different companies, that guarantee needs to be good. 30 years? Sure. Possibly 40 years? Why not? Why not? 40 years ago, if you said to somebody 65, you're going to live to be 85, they would have gone, in a pig's eye, that ain't going to happen. Arr. I have no idea why that last. No idea. but maybe it was a pig. I don't know. Because 40 years ago, folks who were 65 did not live to be 85. And now, 40 years later, folks who are 65, 85? That's pretty much a walk in the park. Actually, that might be the most dangerous thing you do is walking in the park. He was so healthy, but he took a walk in the park and one of those big trucks hit him. That's not a good thing. Is it unthinkable that somebody who's 65 will still be here in 40 years? No, it's not unthinkable at all. As a matter of fact, I'm planning on it. My poor wife, she's in the car listening right now, went, dang. So his question is really, really, really appropriate. If it's the guarantees are only as good as the company standing behind the guarantees, how does he know that they're going to be there? Well, is there any way to know 100%? No. No, none of us are psychic. Psychotic. Predicting is very, very hard, especially about the future. That's deep. No, that's Yogi Bear. You got to go with probabilities. What would a company look like financially that would give you at least a reasonable degree of confidence that they will be there in 40 years? Well, they'd be financially very strong. They would have significant financial reserves. They would have relatively smaller obligations, claims, than they have reserves. They would have a track record of having paid claims with no hiccups whatsoever. They would have a track record of managing money conservatively and intelligently. They would have a substantial size so that they could weather ups and downs of the markets, etc. So his observation that one of the companies is well known and the other two are not doesn't really help us. Because there are a fair number of very financially strong, relatively unknown companies, companies you've never heard of. By the way, there are also a number, not many, but there are a number of very well-known companies that if you looked at their financials, you'd go, interesting. Interesting is not a word you want to use if you're looking for somebody to guarantee your income for 40 years. You want dull, boring, reliable. Got it? Recent weeks, we are seeing some news of class action lawsuits being filed against a particular annuity company. This annuity company, very well known, and very well known predominantly because they tend to recruit salesmen who do radio shows that talk all about annuities. And the annuity company supplies the cash flow to do the radio show, even though they're not named during the show. The salesmen, because they are being employed, in essence, by this annuity company, tend to, and because they receive 6, 7, 8% commissions, you walk in with 100 grand, they make 8,000 bucks in the hour that it takes for you to sign the paperwork. There's a good gig if you can get it, or if you can live with yourself, one or the other. Bottom line is, class action lawsuits, if you had a choice, and you do, dozens of good annuity companies out there, would you choose one that's the subject of a class action lawsuit? Probably not. And why would you? So, and the final question, really important. Should he move these annuities to a different company? Almost certainly no. Almost 100% no. If you are talking to a financial advisor who is recommending that you move your annuity, he or she better have a darn good reason. Regulators get really upset. You can read angry. You can read a lot of negative stuff into that when they find that financial advisors are twisting company or clients out of annuities into other annuities just to generate a commission. It is highly unlikely that this gentleman will be able to go from the current companies to a new company and get a better result. Highly unlikely. It needs to be looked at very carefully. Again, this is a situation where a visit to the world headquarters of More Than Money In an hour or so, we can let him know exactly what the financial strengths of these companies are and exactly what his best options would be. Top of the hour, Fox Network News. Hey, you know who gave up smoking? Sorry. 610-720-7900. I worry about you. Come on. Send me an email, gene@askmtm.com. Ask me if I've given up sugar. No. It's the monkey on my back. 610-720-7900. We'll take your calls, your questions after this on More Than Money.